Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Grinch coming to you out of New York City. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we're coming to you live on the internet. And we've got a fabulous show lined up for you tonight, let me tell you. So we're actually going to be talking about the International Black Summit Facilitated Training and Leadership Weekends. And they happen about 3 to 4 times a year. And, of course, you can get all that information at our website at www.blacksummit.org. And what we do, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But as we usually start out, we're going to start out with the declaration, and Henrietta Bird is going to do that for us. Go ahead, take it away, Henrietta.
Okay, good evening, everyone. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, October 17th, 2010.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
New York City.
Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Brooklyn, New York.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Baltimore, Maryland. October 17th, 2010.
Woo! All right. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you.
Right.
So I want you to know this is truly an international conversation that we're in, and we are the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Want to let you know we've got several hosts tonight. Clara Lyons Devon is going to be hosting with myself. Glenn Grinnage out of New York City, and Clara's out of Cherry Hill, New Jersey. But we also got our support team on the line, Henrietta Bird out of Chi-Town. We got Jerry out of Brooklyn, Jerry Thomas out of Brooklyn, New York, and Jill out of ATL, bringing it live in the Oxygen Room. Welcome. And we have a special guest tonight, all the way from Oakland, California, but we're going to introduce her in a minute. Henrietta, what do you want the current events? Hit the current events for us, please.
Okay. Well, you know what's been going on, and that is all of the talk about Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar walking off The View. And it's, you know,
let the listeners know. So give them the feedback, because not everybody may be up on it. So tell them exactly
right. What
the circumstances were.
So the circumstances were that Bill O'Reilly from Fox was on as a guest on The View. And they were in a conversation about the mosque being built at Ground Zero. And his comments, they were talking about President Obama and how he felt, Bill O'Reilly felt, that one of the problems with Obama's ratings going down, or one of the reasons his ratings were going down, is because he wouldn't take a stand about the mosque being built. And then he went on to make some comments about the Muslim religion. And he, you know, he just said, what he said was, they killed us. The Muslims killed us, and like blamed it, the way it came out, like he was blaming it on the entire religion. And they, their argument, Joy and Whoopi, their argument was extremists were the ones who did it, you know, not the entire religion. And so basically that's what it was about. But, of course, they, you know, they made these comments, and, I mean, he made the comments, and they tried to go back and forth, and then they just got up, and they just walked out. So I've heard everything about this. I've heard people say that that's what he set out to do. Before he came on the show, he told them that he was going to come on and he was ready for them and he was going to accept them and all of that. And then I also heard that he had their position that people felt like you ignore people like that. And I heard people say that they felt Barbara Walters should not have had him on the program. So I'd like to let the listeners think about it.
Ladies first.
So, Salema, you've got a comment? Or Clara? Speak up now. Don't all jump to the mic at one time.
Well, this is Jacacia from Las Vegas.
Go ahead, Jacacia.
Yes, I'm here with the High Rollers.
All right.
So I'm gonna throw the dice.
All right. Go for it.
I really feel like a couple of things. I'm kind of surprised I feel a little bit like this, but then again, I'm not. So first of all, I really don't think they should have walked off. I like that they walked off. But as commentators, I didn't feel like they should have walked off. That's part of their job, is to be there and to have the discussion. As long as he wasn't, cursing out people, you know, even though he may be making statements they didn't like. Part of what the show is about is having an exchange. And even though his exchange may not have been the one they wanted, their work was to be there and have the discussion. Because this is what we want. Well, this is what I want in the world, is for people to be able to say what it is they want to say, whether I agree with it or not. So that was one point. And then the second point was, well, we're not talking about if the mass chick should happen or not. We're just talking about how did we feel about them walking off.
Yeah, this is Claire out of Cherry Hill. And I think actually it's a good demonstration of what we call in the summit trigger. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's something that both of them were unwilling or unable to be with about in his speaking, you know, that caused them to walk. And I think the point is for us, you know, when there's something that we disagree with, what aspect of it is so, you know, unbearable that we can't be in conversation about it, to stay at the table and have all views be heard. And the show is called The View. So, you know.
That is brilliant, Clara.
Yeah. But you know, I'm looking at the declaration, all right, and it speaks to our conversation of about before those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, you know, abundance and responsibility. I kind of felt like that's what, you know, they weren't going to be involved in a conversation that was demeaning, first of all, to the President of the United States, and two, you know, if you're talking about a religion, if you're blaming a religion, if you're saying negative things about a religion, you know, you're going to say negative things about, you know, the tone of it was something getting ready to come. So I think Whoopi kind of said it to him before he said it himself, because they had to bleep up. But I don't know. I think it's good to take a stand. I do. I just think it's good to take a stand for someone else. And that's kind of how I looked at it. Like, you know, they weren't going to let him just talk about Muslims.
Mm. I think in walking away, the conversation doesn't give a chance to be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually leaves the other person in control of the venue, you know. And I get the symbolism of walking away, but in order to have a shift or a change and a transformation, at some point you have to stand your ground and be in the conversation. You know, some of the things that we talk about in the summit are not comfortable for people, but unless people are willing to engage in the conversation, then shifts don't occur. Transformation can't take place.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you agree with the other person. You know, I mean, people say what they say all the time. It doesn't make them right, you know, or wrong. It just means they had something to say.
I
would like to agree with the position of not walking away from the conversation. This is Salima, Baltimore. Both of those individuals who walked away know Bill Raleigh. They know his conversation. They know his perspective. They know exactly who was coming on The View. I believe walking away reflected lack of preparation or an unwillingness to respond to the conversation, that he presented in a rational way, and the way they may have been responded may have been such that they did not want the viewers to know their own position, which I'm certain were very different and probably very strong, that the audience should have had the benefit of. And so this is a fairly highly charged issue, and people are going to be evaluated based on their public position on that issue. And so I think it was a teaching moment that was lost that keeps all of us guessing what their response could have been.
Very good, very good. Get that. Last one, Mr. Jerry, I haven't heard anything from you. I know you got something to say about it. Bring it home for us.
The way I feel is like this. We have to understand what the climate is really is about ever since Obama became president. We cannot be sidetracked about this. Mm-hmm. They know what his stand is for. They know what his beliefs is. Now, we could debate all day, all night about should they walk up or they should stay or whatever. We just got to think about it like this. The climate is getting deeper and deeper, okay? The elections is coming up less than a month from now. So Raleigh, his white wing people is going to do all they can to try to underline what the president policies about and ones who try to do good in Congress for this country. And I said like this, we cannot be fooled. That's it.
All right, brother, I hear you. So this is the International Black Summit. And one thing I want to say before we wrap this up. Yes, go ahead, Shakesha.
One more point I wanted to make, and it kind of points to what Salima and Claire was speaking, is I'm really looking at what the summit has provided for me. And over the years, what I got to perhaps look at is where in my life am I being one of those three or all of those three? Like, you know, where do I get up and walk out in my life? Where do I not listen to other people's opinions? And, like, where am I being Riley? Where am I being Whoopi? And, you know, looking for a partner. You know, I want somebody to walk with me. Like that. Like, I thought about it. Where am I them in my life?
Or the other thing is where do you doubt, where are you Bill O'Reilly? Or where are we, you know, where are we individual Bill O'Reilly? Because he's another person that was there.
Right, I said O'Reilly, yeah. I said, when am I being O'Reilly, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring that to conclusion because we've got a couple other topics. But we have a distinction in the summit called No Right Way to Be. And so we leave you with the opportunity and the opening for you to look to see what you need to do around the area of politics. And certainly we would love for you to get out and vote this upcoming election because of the importance of it and also what you're going to generate around it for yourself. So with that, we're going to move on. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. This is our regular Sunday night talk show conversation. We are on from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., and tonight we've got some special guests, two of which are on, and we've got Susan Shelton all the way from Oakland, California, and we've got Orin Saunders from Brooklyn, New York, who have been part of the International Black Summit facilitation team for quite a few years. And what our topic tonight is going to be is we're going to be talking about, we're actually going to start off with the facilitator training that occurred on Friday, and then we're going to talk about the leadership weekend that occurred the Saturday and Sunday. And so these are activities, these are events that occur at prescribed locations. You can check our website, www.blacksummit.org, but we have these events 3 to 4 times a year, and this one was our wrap-up of our annual event. The first meeting after the annual event is the kind of wrap-up and the beginning. So without further ado, let me bring to the mic Susan Shelton and Orin Saunders. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
Good evening,
very
everyone.
Very good, very good. So let's I'm going to start off with you, Susan. So describe to me what the facilitator training is for. What is that designed for? Because we've got some listeners out there that may not be familiar with what it is to facilitate for the International Black Summit and what that really means.
Got it. So good evening to all the listeners, all the readers of this great International Black Summit talk show. As Glenn has said, I've been in the facilitator body for a good number of years. And organizationally, the facilitator body is the holder of the conversation of the International Black Summit. That is our accountability. That includes the curriculum. That includes our commitment to train ourselves. And the primary way we train ourselves is in listening. And as facilitators of this conversation, that is generally what our commitment is to be listeners of the conversation and to be responsible for not only the conversation at the event, but the question that we engage in each and every year, to look at it in our own lives, and then to bring that to these particular weekends Glenn describes as we discuss, look, and listen to what that inquiry is opening up for us.
Very good, very good. Thank you, thank you. Oren, you've been to quite a few of these trainings. What would you say is the purpose? And if I was someone thinking about facilitating, is this an event that I would want to come to?
Well, I was privy to a little of the discussion that you had earlier. I wasn't clear what the topic was when I got on. I just heard all of you speaking to some incident, and I figured something on one of the talk shows. But what got distinguished inside of that conversation was quite a few of the distinctions that we actually live our lives by inside of the summit. And as Clara has alluded to it, and Shakesia and Shalima, they, you know, all had spoke to certain tools that we gather inside of the summit that enable us to forward a conversation or to be with people in a particular way or to notice when we're not with them in a particular way, but not to put it outside of them, but not to put it on the person, but to reflect back on ourselves, like Shakesha was speaking to, where is the O'Reilly in her life? Where is the, who are the two people that is that walked out? Who is she inside of, where do those two people exist inside of her? So the thing that I think the value, the greatest asset and the gift of the summit is a conversation that doesn't, that have us not have the outside world be what our reality is, in the sense that we don't look to the, we do not blame or put like something happened to me or we do not see ourselves as victims to what is happening out there in the world, but using it as an opportunity for us to get access into the deeper levels of ourselves. So,
let me cut you for a second. So let me ask you this. So if I'm a listener and I'm listening to this, and these distinctions can be used to keep me on track, is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know if I can. I would say on track, because I would say on track for what?
Well, on track to maybe my vision. Or, you know, my commitments in life.
Well, it does. But what I'm speaking to, using specifically the incident that y'all were alluding to, it keeps you these distinctions of the summit and the facilitator training in particular, which is about the distinctions, which is about using those distinctions consistently and constantly in your life, and it have you reflect back on you, regardless of what is happening out there in the world. It allows you to check into yourself around it, but not like to check out there and blame out there that out there conversation just gives you access to what's over here with you.
Mm-hmm.
So inside of that, if you have a particular vision, as you were speaking to Glenn or something like that, it enables you to see where you are inside of your vision. Like it kind of helps you in kind of measurement, like a measurement tool to say, oh, like I'm triggered and that, okay, inside of my vision or inside of nurturing everyone, you know, probably walking away was not a thing to do. So you get the chance to see that for yourself. And you're not stuck with your walking away, but you get the opportunity to look at, oh, why am I being like that? Or like Shakesha said, we look at them like, oh, this person was wrong to walk away, and O'Reilly was there to trigger and upset people and all that. But what Shakesha said is like, where is that in my life? What areas of my life that I do that? So
you get to look at it. Yeah.
So you constantly get to look at it. So, and that's what I think is the gift of the facilitator training. That's what I see as the gift for someone coming. It gets you constantly in tune with your life, and it gets you constantly equipped for living and for living a really profound life in a lot of ways. So, you know, that's what I see.
Very good, very good. Thank you. Back to you, Susan. How has facilitating impacted your life?
I've put my headset on, so I want to check and see that you all can hear me fine.
Yes, we can.
Very good. So I was actually thinking about Aaron's comments inside of what you said and listening to the conversation. And in listening about Whoopi and I don't know her name. I don't watch the show. I certainly don't watch Mr. Riley's show, but I've read things by him. And I thought about what my own reaction would have been to someone who had made a comment of that nature. And I immediately noticed that I was angry. You know, many of you know my four sons are Muslim. And I was like, oh, what a thing for the man to say, huh? So it's not even that anger is not an appropriate response to that. One of the values of the International Black Summit for me, someone who constantly is challenged by my temper and by my impatience, is it offers me an opportunity to practice being the way that I want to be in the world. And that is someone who's not ruled by my anger. That is someone who is not always impatient with what I consider the things that are not conducive to a healthy and peaceful world, which I think Bill Riley is one of those. And asking myself those questions helps me to be conscious. And so, you know, when Oren said it has you lead a profound life, I would concur with that. I think that it does not, that the use of these distinctions, the conversation of the facilitator body, the fellowship, if you will, which is what I call the calls that I get on with other facilitators and work through the issues that I'm dealing with, do not happen on a superficial basis for me. It happens at a very visceral level where I get to hold myself up before myself and before others who reflect back to me, what is it that I'm contributing to the world and how is it contributing in a positive way? And when it doesn't, I get to have people in my life and distinctions in my life to work with so I can just get conscious to it and notice it. And in those ways, I am thankful to have been living a very profound life for a number of years now.
So let me feed this back. So I want to be clear, and I want our listeners to be clear. So the facilitating training and being a facilitator, you get to train yourself in being with yourself powerfully so that you're not a victim in life and that you actually have the opportunity to get feedback on how you're being in the world or in that moment as you bump up against different kinds of issues in your life.
Glenn, that was brilliant. And much fewer words than I used and very accurate. Thank you.
Okay, very good, very good. And so... If you're speaking now to someone who has no knowledge of the summit, what would you tell them a reason to come to this facilitator training?
What I would say, the facilitator training does give you quite a lot of tools with navigating your life. And one of the, you know, like Susan said, it gives you a lot of tools to navigate your life and also give you people who facilitate you, who train you, who allow you a space of being that you can hear yourself.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And inside of the facilitator training, you'll have an opportunity to up your listening to the world around you and the world inside of you. You get an opportunity to listen to yourself in a particular way and from a particular space, but you also get to see how your world listens to you too.
Yeah, very good.
So it for the state of Trinidad, definitely for myself, what I can see it as off my listening, my level of listening, and I can, you know, I have a little more wherewithal to be with a lot of things. Just as Susan said, it does not necessarily mean that I'm not going to be angry or get all upset with Bill O'Reilly and that. And one of the things that I personally do is, like, I allow myself to get upset. I allow myself to get angry at Bill O'Reilly, but I only allow it for 2 seconds. And after I've done that, I say, okay, good. All right, you've done that. That was good. Ah, love it. I was able to curse somebody out and make them all wrong. And then I come back to myself, like Shakir just said earlier, where is Bill O'Reilly inside of me? Where in my life I have been Bill O'Reilly? Where have I been Whoopi? Where have I been Joy or whoever the other person is? That gives me another way that I can have, one, compassion for the people out there.
Very good.
And compassion for myself, because as sure as they, I have been Bill O'Reilly, Whoopi, and everybody at some point in my life. But it gives me a space to stand inside of that and also to start to have a little more wherewithal and compassion for those out there, for the Bill O'Reillys, which is basically for myself.
So,
some level.
So this is great. So for our listeners out there, So what we're pointing to, and I actually hear 3 aspects, and we've got a caller, 201, we're going to get to you in a second. But what I hear is that you're talking about knowing yourself, knowing how you are in the world, and knowing how the world is towards you. Is that accurate?
It's very accurate, Glenn.
That's great, Glenn.
Okay. Very good. So we get to interact with different aspects and phases of ourselves on those 3 levels as we are dealing with or are bumping up against an issue of sorts. Wow, that's excellent. And that's what's available at the facilitator training days that occur. And how does one become a facilitator? Is there a process involved?
Well, Glenn, I think you've asked a couple of good questions, and I know you have a call awaiting. And I'm not very clear about the answer in the moment, but I am interested in a question that says, if someone doesn't know about the International Black Summit, would the benefits of the things we've described in the facilitator training be something that they would be interested in coming to? I thought that was a very interesting question, and I haven't thought about it like that before. My assumption is that when people find out about the International Black Summit through its declaration and its other events, that something there resonates with them. And inside of that resonance, they come seeking this conversation. But as I've listened to us tonight, it also provides many qualities that live both in and, for someone who didn't know the summit, outside of the summit as well. So is there a process and is there a protocol for becoming a facilitator? There is a willingness to be a facilitator, and that willingness is part of what I described earlier, a commitment to use your life to practice the distinctions on a daily basis. It is an accountability for the conversation of the International Black Summit. It is an accountability to train yourself through various means throughout the year. It is an accountability to train yourself in listening, to be able to be in front of the room or in back of the room in any events that we lead and be able to hold and carry this conversation.
Excellent. Thank you so much. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. My name is Glenn Greenidge. We come to you live on the Internet every Sunday from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 p.m. We also have the Oxygen Room from 9 to 9:30. That number is 218-862-6420. Access code is 797-4834#. So that's available after we go off of air, caller 201-966, go ahead, you're live on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great, great. This is Niamo. How are you? How is everyone?
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Niamo.
Great, great. I don't know. Oh, hi. Who is that, Clara?
Yes.
Hi. Hi. Well, greetings to everyone. I got on a little late, about 10 after, and I've just been hearing, I've heard Oren and Susan describe the training process. And I would like to say that certainly I'm probably some kind of test case about the training and wanting the training to be outside of me. And, you know, just using the word training just in the beginning meant for me something I would be getting. And in last week's training, I got a deeper cut at the meaning of training being something I'm giving myself, something I'm getting from being in the room with facilitators who are constantly facilitating. And thereby, I am able to facilitate my own listening and opening my own awareness and ears and vision faculty so that I'm seeing more and hearing more and listening more deeply. And so that
wow.
the training is occurring to me or with me or from and inside of me at a deeper level. And so it's not something that someone is going to pull me aside and say X, Y, Z. Although, be that as it may, I have felt in the room of the training moments of, let's say, a Friday of a leadership body weekend or a planning body weekend or just that day that is designated for facilitator body as training, I have, in the listening, felt pulled aside to more deeply get what it is that I may not be seeing. Perhaps it's a bumping up against something that jars me or something that, you know, triggers me so that I go deeper. Who knows? Sometimes it might be direct, like, a facilitator or just in a conversation, someone saying something, and it's like I get confronted. And so it's like a direct, that would be a direct, you know, dead-on interaction, communication that is delivered, and I get or I don't get. And then I have to sit with that and be with what is about that. So that's one way. And then the other way is more the process, you know, the process of just hearing and being in alignment with what universe and life is giving us in that moment and being with the facilitation process or conversation. It may be an issue. It may be something specific that we're that is a conversation topic, or it may be that, I don't know what else. I'm just saying that I get it in more than one way, and it's a beautiful thing.
So you get it on several different levels. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
But,
very good.
I'm sorry. May I, Glenn?
Yes, go ahead.
Niamo, I'm glad you distinguished training. I know that there are classic definitions of what trainings are, I don't consider the International Black Summit Facilitator Body Training one of those more classic definitions, and that I would affirm how you describe how we train ourselves as a process of conversation with one another, paying attention and listening to the engagement that we're in, and then pointing to who we're being, how we're listening, and how we're engaging. That's our form of training. It's direct. It's up close and personal. And if I could, it's through intimate conversation. The entire
yes.
International Black Summit is a conversation. So facilitator training happens inside of the conversation as well.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I like in what Niamh was saying is it's something that you give yourself.
Yeah,
most often when people talk about training, if somebody's going to come and do something to you and make you better.
Amen.
But that's not the training that we're talking about in the International Black Summit. It's just exactly what Niyama said. It's something that you give yourself.
Would you say then that being a facilitator in the International Black Summit is much different than facilitating other things in life? So there's a particular, when you speak to facilitation, you're speaking facilitation as not necessarily providing something, but you're standing in something together, as opposed to giving something to someone. Am I hearing that right? I want to clarify that for my listeners.
What I would say, we do provide something. We provide our listening.
Okay.
But that's it.
Okay, good.
That's it. It's the way that we train ourselves to listen in the constant using the distinctions. So again, I must allude to the previous conversation. Like what Shakesha said again, who are those three people right inside of me? So there's a way of listening when you start to see, oh, here's my life where I do that. It, first of all, it takes off all the judgment around the – it helps, not right away probably, but it starts to dissipate the judgment that you have around how this other person was being. And then there's another level of listening that you could have for that person that may enable to move someone forward in life.
Slow down. So there's a listening that I have for myself, but there's also a listening I have for other people. And we actually have those three pieces that we talked about earlier. So listening for myself, listening for other people, and listening the world.
Right.
Okay. So facilitating in the International Black Summit really is about the persons getting these three aspects of themselves as and providing something to themselves and the people around them and the world.
Wow. Yeah.
That's so great.
When you asked before, though, Glenn, let me go back to your question. I thought you were asking, just real shorthand, how does facilitation training give access to facilitation of the summit event? I mean, that's really, really shorthand. I thought you were going in that kind of direction, and I wanted to speak to it. Go ahead.
Okay. And remember that we've got people who haven't participated in the summit conversation on the as listeners or listen to this at a later date. So I want them to be included as well, so that it's not just for the people who attended the International Black Summit, but also so they can get a sense of what is maybe so special about the International Black Summit.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to speak to. The fact is that for me, and I think I've noticed it for other facilitators in the facilitator body, the ongoing training, the ongoing conversation, that has its roots and genesis and inspiration in the Declaration, does prompt a person to want to facilitate in the room of the event when others are sharing. And so that's like the summit experience. That annual event is just so exciting. And once you have that experience, it certainly is a facilitation of the experience, facilitates the wanting of participating at that level of facilitating others and facilitating oneself in the conversation in the room in those moments. And additionally, just the facilitation that you get in your day-to-day, both Susan and Oren have touched on it. I'm striving to find words to give the listeners a sense of the access to deeper levels of their being inside of this conversation. You know, when some of us just look at the declaration, where, you know, we could stay for years on there's nothing to do except be. I mean, there's nothing to do except be. That's it. That's like in the first line. And we're whole and complete and there's nothing to do except be. And I said, so how do you facilitate yourself inside of that? And what I have found for myself is that I begin to notice in every instance where there is an opening, no, better than that, in life, going forward, going out the door, whatever occurs, it could be, like Oren was saying, something on the radio and you're offended, and I could begin to express myself and hear myself and hear my life and hear Susan mentioned compassion. You know, hear not only what the person's dealing with or what the radio is saying or what the coworkers are doing, but really hear deeply how the human experience is such rich material for us all to grow. You know, and I hear it, and I hear it for myself. Ooh, this is rich for me to grow. And this conversation actually has that capacity to give each of us, you know, it has given me that. It has given me that. I hear how in every little thing, going to buy eggs in the store and standing in line with somebody who, you know, oh, that's a pretty dress, or there's a crying baby, or who knows, somebody wants you to beep, beep, beep. They want you to move up fast, you know, go faster than you're going. And why are you going slow? Because you're talking on the phone. Whatever it could be. And there's always something more that's being revealed that's a lot deeper than these examples I just gave. This day for me has been one of those days where things that have been shown to me about my life and how I do things. It's like uncomfortable for a minute. It's like uncomfortable. I'm like, ooh. However, the conversation gives me enough. And I give myself the opportunity to listen more deeply to what the meaning is, what is the gift here inside of this uncomfortable moment. And this conversation gives us access to that.
Very good.
So can I ask a question here? Going back to tying this in with the current event we were talking about. So if I'm consistently engaged in the conversation of International Black Summit and I watch something like we talked about earlier where there's where there's opinions being whatever, what would being in the conversation provide for me? I know Chakasha said, you know, where am I, these different people, but in my, like, is there something other than that? Like would it have me, I mean, do it have me just not participate in a conversation about opinion or whatever? Does it, you know, am I always going to be checking myself to see, okay, am I like Bill O'Reilly? Am I like Whoopi? Am I like Joy? Am I like Barbara? Or do I ever get to, like, just listen to the conversation? Or, you know, does this make me always analyze myself?
Mm. That's a really, really great question. This is Clara, and one of the things that comes up for me with that particular question is, you know, I really use the tools of the summit to assist me in maneuvering.
Maneuvering.
Yeah, conversations like that. So one of the things that I get is I don't have to take on other people's conversations because, you know, as a result of this work, I get other people's conversations are not about me. They're really about them and their perceptions of the world. So, and they're welcome to have them. You know, it doesn't, it's kind of a no out there conversation. You know?
Mm-hmm.
My speaking gives my world, and their speaking gives their world. And I don't
So if you're saying there's no out there, then how can their conversation, or would you explain how their conversation that I'm listening to is not my conversation?
You can choose it. You can actually choose to say, I hear your conversation, but it's not, I don't have to agree with you. It's not necessarily how, it's not my conversation. I don't have to own your conversation as my own. And that's a really powerful place to stand. And I can listen to it, and I can hear it, but I don't have to own it as my own. And I don't have to own it as even being true for myself.
We've got about 9 minutes left. I want to let our listeners know that we're actually not going to get to the leadership weekend. So we're actually going to do that next week because this conversation is too rich, and we've got just a few moments left. One of the things I want to point to is that the International Black Summit and the distinctions and the body of work is about you empowering yourself and being empowered and left empowered out of those situations. So, Henrietta, to point to what you said, would you now think that you're this or that? You choose and pick what works for you and has you be power and retain your power so that you can then move forward in what it is that you're bumping up against. So it's not about confusing you and adding so many things to the pipe, but you've got these tools, again, as a reference point to keep yourself on track or to keep yourself pointed towards your vision or your commitment. Orin, you were pointing to something? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's quite a lot in what you're saying. And Henrietta's question, I like it. It is an interesting question. Yes, I would say it enables you to be in the inquiry of yourself. And when you remember to do it is when you do it. The gift of it is that the out there gives us access to the over here. That is why one of the distinctions of the International Black Summit is there's no out there. Not that there's not a physical reality out there, but it allows you to see over here with what? And I keep alluding to the same conversation about the three people being inside of me. But what that does, it doesn't have... The only time I can do that, if you can remember what I said earlier, my first take on it is I'm a victim to out there. I get upset with O'Reilly. He's a racist, and he spews hatred and all of that. And, you know, the other person on the other side would say, oh, Whoopi didn't want to listen because they know what he's saying is right and she can't be with it, you know, and Joy, and, you know. So... Where I could be in that conversation with them and trying to hear, figure out what he would have said and then get upset with it and be all angry and cursing at the TV and all of that. I may do that. But what this facilitation and what being in the as a facilitator of the International Black Summit, I have trained myself to use that. Not for over there and choose what they're going through with, but to bring it back over here to me and see inside of my vision where I am that stops the forwarding of my vision.
Excellent. So we've got 5 minutes left. Let me let you know that the oxygen room will continue from when we go off the air till 9:30. The number is 218-862-6420. The access code is 797-4834. And so I'm going to give everybody a chance. We've got about 5 minutes left. So anything last that you'd like to leave us with, Orin, about being a facilitator, facilitator training, or just your experience of a facilitator?
Yeah, well, the the facilitator, being in the train as a facilitator and being inside of the in the International Black Summit as facilitators participant, and particularly inside of the training as facilitator, I have given myself the gift of the tools of the summit, the distinctions that allow me to manage my business for someone that has not done like academic management or any formal training in management. But I use those tools daily so that when my employees, Aniamon said something towards it, when they do things and when I'm ready, again, I will give it like, oh, they, you know, I talk about them like the worst. And then after I do that, I say, okay, you know, it's not about them, it's about you. What is life trying to give you? So it allows me to come back, and what I have found, I have gotten the most profound breakthroughs in my life, which have forward my business, forward my relationship, forward my level of spiritual understanding, that I there's nothing, you know, I think it's been the best thing that could have happened to me. And I'm so grateful to the Creator for having had the opportunity to be in the space of the facilitator training for the International Black Summit and in the presence of all the great people that come to the International Black Summit as facilitators and participants.
Very good. Thank you. We got to keep moving. We've got about 3 minutes left. Niamo, 45 seconds, and then we're coming to you, Susan. Go ahead, Niamo. What do you want to say in closing?
Oh, well, I just appreciate the time and this moment to be on the call, and I kind of echo just everything Oren said. I can't think of anything else. I mean, I'm grateful to the Creator. I'm grateful to being in this moment of time, being able to hear and see and have most of my faculties and even ones I haven't identified, and just being more conscious of that, just being conscious that there's always more, and that there's expansion, and that there's more love, and that there's more possibility. It's just a wonderful thing, and I recommend it for everyone.
Very good. Thank you. Susan.
And I would agree. I think the facilitation training, the facilitation gatherings, the people who bring themselves to be facilitators have been a blessing and a gift I have given to myself, and it's one of the smartest things I've ever done in my life. And I thank you all for this conversation this evening. It has actually helped me drill down even more as to what this thing is that we call facilitation in the summit, and it is ever evolving, ever opening up itself to us and through us, then the gift to the world. So thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, my three guests. We've got about a minute left, so I just want to let you know tonight's show was about the facilitator training. Next week we're actually going to talk about the leadership weekends and what happens there, so you can get a sense of what's occurring and how you can participate in the International Black Summit. The oxygen room is 218-862-6420. Access is 797-4834. And we're going to be there for another half an hour when we go off air. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We are here from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 p.m. every Sunday. The call-in number is 646-716-9827. And want to just acknowledge the talk show team. We've got Jerry, we've got Jill, we've got Henrietta, we've got Clara, and we've got Chakasha holding down various aspects, the chat room and some of the other pieces, the oxygen room. So all of those things are brought to you every week from the International Black Summit. Again, our website is www.blacksummit.org. We love you. We are here to empower you, to support you in you fulfilling on your vision. We are here to empower your purpose. We love you. Thank you for being with us tonight. And go on into your lives powerfully. Peace,
thank you.
Blessings, and love.
Thank you so much, Clint.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Great show.
Welcome to the oxygen room.
Wrong. In the oxygen room.
So, again, that is 218-862.